This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Mallory Donahue.
And this is ZD Donahue. And yes, I'm ready.
You're not eating those chips that have been up here for six months.
Get up here at a certain time and then you're like,
and it's 15 minutes later.
Yeah, okay. And then when I come up and I'm not exactly perfectly ready, but I brought her food. Anyway.
But I'm not eating the food while I'm trying. Yeah, I really actually
it doesn't
I wish
matter.
I would have eaten something before.
It doesn't matter. If someone brings you food, it means they love you.
I brought you food last night. How was it?
Right.
How was it?
You love
was
me.
It okay?
Yeah, Jerry devoured
was it. Good?
It. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really
good. It was good.
I have half
did
a cow.
Did you make those buns? Or
no,
you?
I didn't make the buns. I bought the buns.
I was going to say because they weren't the quality that I'm used to.
Oh, really? I liked them.
They were okay.
I liked them.
Yours are better.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I made roast beef. Okay, so I made chuck roast and like I'm used to making it a certain way and... But this is a bone-in chuck roast, which is different because I bought half a cow from somebody. So I've just been roasting this stuff and cutting it up like it's roast beef because I have like 15 roasts. And I've decided, you know, I know there are a lot of people who are going to disagree with this. I really don't like the crock pot very much.
I'm not a crock potter. I'm a Dutch oven person.
Yes.
Either on top of the
stove. Or in the oven.
What I realized is a crock pot is a Dutch oven takeoff. But I shouldn't say never, but I rarely do anything in the crock pot without searing it first.
I seared this first.
Right.
But
was this crock
still,
pot?
It was crock pot. And the beef was fine. The vegetables I wasn't very happy with.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with like the moisture. Maybe it even had to do with like the cut of beef and just what I was expecting.
You know, I never,
I didn't give you any of the carrots because I didn't like how the carrots
came
out.
You know, I never used a crock pot until we redid our kitchen. Was it 6 or 7
years? And
so
didn't
I was
have...
like in my 60s before I used a crock pot.
So here's the deal. The crock pot was taking up some valuable real estate, kitchen storage real estate.
Yes.
It's going to live in the garage now.
And mine lived in the garage for a long time.
And it is good for like keeping a soup warm at a party or something like that.
And I have a couple of mini crock pots.
Yes, those are also good.
And
for
those are good
parties.
To take like.
And
if
I
you have
realized
dip to like someplace or
that that the crock pot is a very good option. It's a very safe option for cooking something for a long time when you have to like go to work.
Well, that
we
is,
get to work from home. Okay, so that's
and
the
that
thing.
Is when I do know people that said they have actually roasted chickens in it. And
yeah,
they did it and it was really good.
I liked it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how.
It's fine. It's just not my...
I just feel like...
And I have two Dutch ovens.
Well, I have a timer on my oven, so I can do... I can start it in my Dutch oven. I can put it in my...
You have a cooking timer. Like
right,
a,
so I can, like...
I think I do, too.
Which is exactly the same as crock pot to me.
But it is not, I don't think, as safe, I think.
Well, you've got a bigger appliance on, that's
like,
for sure.
I think it's... Firefighters would tell you that you can have your crock pot on and you're not supposed to leave the house with your oven on. I think it's different. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should ask a firefighter.
Well, I kind of left my house with my oven on before. Well, people will tell you not to leave your house with your dryer
on. Yes, yes. Well, clean out your lint filter, everybody. Okay, so I made that roast in the crock pot. It was fine. It's not my preferred method, which I think I can segue into this subject of the podcast.
Everything can be made by
in
a different process.
Different methods.
And you might come up with a similar or same product.
And depending on the equipment you have, you might be more successful with one technique.
Yes.
Yeah, the equipment you have available.
Right.
You might be successful with one technique and not another. with the equipment you have, and then there are things you can do to make the equipment you have work, and
well, and et cetera, the experiences that you've had with or without certain equipment,
yes,
or just the experiences you've had with the materials you're working with, sometimes will dictate for you to do it, you know, a certain way because you have more knowledge.
Also, food. This question comes from Tamara, who is, oh gosh, what's her exact, I don't know what her exact title is, at a local nonprofit. The local nonprofit is the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture.
Uh-huh.
So they do lots of really cool things,
right,
around growing your own vegetables. And she's like their communications person. She
like
does
PR,
like their social media and,
yeah,
and okay, stuff like, yeah, that. Actually, the, uh-huh, kids, you know, the kids were in that video about sweet,
right,
potatoes.
Right.
And she, that was at her house.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, this question comes from Tamara, and it is about t-shirt quilts. And let me see. I wish maybe I would have asked a couple more questions about her experience, but we have a lot of experience with this subject. So sewing with knit/t-shirts material, I have made 2 t-shirt quilts and I had so many problems. And so this is different. Sewing with knits to make like a blanket is different than sewing with knits,
yeah,
to make a garment, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Anyway, that's different.
Yes.
We've done some episodes on sewing knit garments, and this is going to be a different story. So, and there are some qualifiers here. So she wants to make a t-shirt quilt. Some advice we used to give.
Now, wait.
Well,
a minute.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So,
yeah,
let's talk about what a t-shirt quilt is.
Let's talk about what a t-shirt quilt is.
So people will know, there may be people out there that don't know what a t-shirt quilt is. So, most often what this is it's t-shirts that, you know, depict an event. So,
yeah,
you've run in a race, you've been on a soccer team, you've been in a marching band, but you know, they reflect something, or you know, sometimes it's a band or a concert you went to and you bought the t-shirt or a play or whatever. So it's a graphic t-shirt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It usually has some graphic on it, and you are taking it and you're going to make each block or some most of the blocks with this t-shirt.
That's right.
Okay. So it's you know, a memorial t-shirt. No.
It's, yeah, memory quilt.
Yeah, memory quilt,
quilt.
Whatever. Hillary's so getting ready to buy a,
oh yeah,
actual
uniform,
you know, retired band uniform where her husband Josh was the band leader at one time. They are now retiring them, and you take them and you make like pillows out.
That's,
but,
I think that'll be cute.
Right.
Well,
right,
and people, you know, people make memory
pillows
out of a
bags,
deceased person's,
you know, things,
shirts,
right,
and it's got a little pocket on it. And you can,
yeah,
embroider on it, and it's cute. So there's lots of ways to do that. So t-shirt quilts are memory quilts. There are an industry has popped up around,
right,
this. Both an industry geared toward the DIY, home sewist, whatever, and then also an industry geared toward the people who don't want to sew them. There are,
right,
services.
Right. There, okay, are people. You can send your t-shirts away.
Uh-huh.
Now, it may not come back exactly like what you expected.
Yeah, so that I
But that,
yeah,
also happens if you give it to a friend, mm-hmm, or a person in town that does this or whatever. So, and there's a reason for that.
Yes.
There's many reasons for it, actually. One reason being each t-shirt is not graphicked the same correctly, not the same shape or style or whatever.
Size.
Size.
So the graphic is,
right,
not the same size, you know.
Or the t-shirt's,
yeah,
not the,
right,
same size.
Right.
And the other thing is the fabrics.
Yes.
They are now different. Okay. Back in the day, a t-shirt was a t-shirt was a t-shirt.
Right.
It's
so
not anymore.
We talked about this in our t-shirt alterations episode about how, like, you used to get kind of this straight up and down, like, not super stretchy, more like mechanical,
right,
stretch. But now we've got people being like, I want a nicer t-shirt. So,
well,
you get these soft t-shirts.
And they'd be like 100% cotton. Or,
yeah,
maybe they'd be like 20-80, which were very, very similar. So the fabrics, I guess what I'm saying, would have been more similar to each other probably.
Right.
Now you're getting rayon. Sometimes you're getting bamboo. You're getting the, I don't know what the fabric's called with the little holes in it. That, you know, the...
Like the jersey?
Yeah.
Like 4A football jersey
or something
like that?
Yeah, so now, you know, so you're getting different fabrics now. So you're mixing fabrics more than likely.
Yeah. Okay, so over in consumer land, all right, you've got rulers, mm-hmm. okay, for this kind of thing, that, like, big squares that let you center the logo and they're clear,
right.
okay? So that could be a challenge that someone faces.
So they're like a 14-inch square or an 18-inch square, sometimes mm-hmm. a 12-inch square, but, you know, you will have to go through all of your T-shirts and make some decisions here.
So that is... can often be like a first step,
right?
Is going through the T-shirts and you're like, oh, well, this T-shirt just has this sort of like long rectangle that's just like the name of a business,
right.
you know, or something, or the name of something. Oh, but then this T-shirt has a big thing that could be turned into a rectangle or a square.
This one has a big sewing machine on it I am a sewing machine.
This one has a little logo on the sleeve
right.
that's super small that maybe I could put in some sashing. Okay.
Right.
Here we go. Are we?
Or that could be your small squares versus you're going to have.
Are you just going to have two different kinds of blocks or something like that? So when you plan out a quilt, you're oftentimes like laying it out and you're, you know, seeing, okay, do I. With your T-shirt quilt, it doesn't just have to be made of T-shirts. You could pop in another material in there,
right.
sort of that. When I say sashing, that's oftentimes, I guess, sorry if I. Define this incorrectly, quilters, but that's like a strip of fabric between blocks.
Right.
And it can be decorative. It can be functional, as in it can be a way that you have like these small blocks and you wanted a bigger quilt so
right.
that you get to add 2 inches between each block. Boom.
Right.
That's like,
or you
know.
Could actually put sashing on a block to make it bigger.
That's what I mean.
Like
yeah.
Frame it.
Sort of.
Right.
Frame it. Framing.
So, you know, mm-hmm. this block can be, or this, you know, this quilt top
uh-huh.
can just be blocks.
Yes.
So you have 14-inch blocks or 12-inch blocks, bam, 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 bam. Or you alternate with another fabric, too. So you have, you know, your printed block and a plain block and a printed block and a plain.
Yep.
You know, there's all ways to do this. So you get to design this quilt, and there's no problem with looking this up.
Right.
Like by Googling it or whatever. Okay. Quilt designs.
So you, yes.
Or layouts.
You can use sashing too with these T-shirt quilts. Like a lot of times it's like, okay, we got a red and we got a green and we got a blue and we got a yellow.
Right.
We got, you know, oh my God, there's all these colors. Or maybe it's a T-shirt quilt that is sort of like, these are all the things from high school. So there is a
right.
color scheme.
We see a lot of,
you know,
in our town, a lot of Mizzou quilts,
yeah,
which are
yeah.
gold and black and maybe some white, you know.
So your sashing could be used to like further, enforce a color scheme or
right.
to bring in some unity or something like that. Now, your sashing, here's where we go. Is the sashing going to be quilting cotton?
Right.
Or blah, blah,
or is
blah,
it going to be
or,
knit?
Or is it going to be knit?
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to plan your T-shirt quilt out. You need to know what size it's going to be, how many T-shirts you have, if you need to.
Are you using the front and backs of the T-shirts?
Uh-huh. Cut all that
or
stuff out.
Or both sides? Because sometimes the graphic is big on the front and there's a little on the
okay,
back.
So this
blah,
is
blah,
where
blah.
I do think, you know, we have big, clear, square rulers.
Right.
We don't make T-shirt quilts aren't our, like,
don't
thing we do all
t-shirts.
The time. You
yes.
know, we'll do them for someone we love. Some people love doing these. So those big rulers, though, can be used for other stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And they were made before
absolutely.
This. And used for other stuff,
right.
and then they were packaged. So if you buy one, if you're like, oh, will I ever use this again? Like, yeah, we like them for other
so.
Things,
we
you know.
We actually have a project called the three-pocket
bag that we would use those for. Yeah, you're totally
it, right.
A big square can be nice.
Right.
Of course, it's
nice
to. Can
be used to square things off.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, if you are making something else.
So those products can be used for other stuff. And then you're going to be the next part. I bet the part that really stumped Tamara
uh-huh.
and stumped so many people, like she said in her question,
right.
how to sew with knits for this project.
Right.
That's what we're going to cover in section number 2 of this podcast. So we'll be right back and we're going to talk to you about things like interfacings and can you use a serger
and
stitch types and all that stuff.
Can,
okay.
You know, how do you mix these fabrics?
So you've been waiting for, you know, 13, 14 minutes here and we're going to get down and dirty in second half of this podcast. Hey, ZD, Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And we're back. Okay, this is stretchy, wiggly fabric. If you were a quilter and you were making traditional quilts, you've come from the land of, like, super stable quilting cotton. We got to take a break real quick and let the dogs in. Okay, dogs inside, not in rain. Now it's not raining. All right. So sewing on stretchy fabric is challenging. And if you were a quilter and you'd been sewing on stable cotton and then someone's like, we make a t-shirt quilt. You're like, yeah, I'm a quilter. I'll make you a t-shirt quilt. Yeah, right. Whatever, you know. Or you see the project. And you're like, yes, I'm a quilter. I will make a t-shirt quilt. And then all of a sudden you're like, crap, this is a little different.
It is different.
So we used to always recommend, I mean, this is the fix, okay? This is the fix, is interfacing or stabilizing or whatever.
Right.
Your blocks.
So you are fusing stabilizer on the back of your t-shirt piece.
Yes. And then ta-da, it doesn't stretch anymore. It's totally sewable.
And the stabilizer we always like recommended was a knit stabilizer. And that does stabilize it.
So
it doesn't leave it stretchy.
We used to recommend that no-show mesh.
Right.
And I think it was fine.
There's an easy
But
knit.
I think the easy knit actually is what I would recommend now.
Yeah.
It's softer, yet still keeps it stable.
And the reason we recommend this, because if you use like a regular stabilizer, iron-on interfacing or whatever, what you're going to get is a stiffness, a stiff blanket that's not, you know, snuggly, blankety, comfortable.
Right. Yes. Yes. So it is.
I mean, if this is going to be a display that's on the wall, that's a different story.
Right. Now, the no-show mesh that is a little stiffer, I think was also kind of okay if the person was then going to do like batting and quilting.
Right.
Because you
get
that batting in there.
Right.
And those quilts are a little stiffer.
Right.
Now, so that's the other thing. Is this a t-shirt, quote, quilt that is actually a quilt?
Right. Or is it a wall hanging?
No, or is it a blanket sort of thing
that doesn't get
quilt head?
Is it going to be a throw on a couch?
Yeah.
Is it going to be actually on some bed? Yeah, what is this going to be?
Yeah, what are you going to, and it's okay, whatever it is fine.
Right. But that should dictate what kind, you know, the stiffness or the heaviness or the bulk of this stabilizer.
Yeah. So here's the deal. There is a service, I've seen it, where you can send off your, I mean, there are probably several, But the one that was advertised to me on Facebook was like, you can send your, and it'll get advertised again because my phone's listening now to me talk about t-shirt quilts.
We'll just hang, put tape over everything.
That's right. So they showed their process. And what they're doing is they are cutting these custom. They're using some rulers. And they are putting them together with a serger.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're putting like a fleece backing on
it.
That's fine. And you can do that.
So it's going to be stretchy.
But yes, it's going to be stretchy. It's going to lose its shape.
Yes.
And that can be okay for people.
Right.
It can be fine.
Absolutely.
So, but it's a little bit of a trade-off. So Tamara, I don't think, has a serger.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have sergers.
Right.
What the serger does is it eliminates the need for that interfacing because it handles those knit fabrics just
That's
fine.
Right.
Right? It's just going to sew those together.
It's not distorting, you know, the fabric.
You don't
generally.
Get the skip stitches
right.
or the growth,
right.
you know, of the stretchiness. A serger can often handle those kind of fabrics just fine. And so what they're doing in that factory is they're just going zoom, zoom, zoom with the
right.
serger and popping a backing on it. And that's great.
Right.
Okay.
I think the other thing that concerns me about that I would want to think about is, do I want this to be durable? And
yeah.
I think it would be less durable put together that way, with someone wadding it up and washing it all the time, and it sort
no
of,
doubt.
You know, I just think it would not be. Now, do they tie it to the back?
I don't know. I wanted to talk about that.
Do they stabilize it to the front to the back? Yes.
Yeah. So what quilting does, the actual, when you talk about the act of quilting, not the hobby of quilting,
right.
the act of quilting is sewing through many layers to secure them together,
right.
often a top and batting and a backing, the mm-hmm. quilt sandwich, if you will. Okay. So you don't have to do that, though. What Mom's talking about, the method of tying, mm-hmm. is using like a yarn or a floss or something.
Ribbon I've used.
Do whatever.
Right.
To put those layers together at intervals, mm-hmm. like often at
or
the corner.
Or you can do like sort of like a tailor tack.
Yeah.
You know, you could actually stitch it in places.
And what this does is, so like a quilt without quilting could look like a pillowcase. You could pull the back and the front apart,
right.
and you could, you know, really
so
distort
you'd
it
up,
well, almost.
You'd wind up with this pillowy thing that would like lose its shape
yeah.
because it has nothing to hold the front to the back.
So tying or quilting those together keeps those layers one,
right.
and ta-da, we're not pulling apart, we're not losing our shape. And quilting can be, you know, I've seen people send t-shirts to long-arm quilters where they've stippled around everything.
Right.
Or you can just stitch in the ditch to
but
hold,
those
you do whatever you want.
I mean, like the one she's talking about that goes the long arm have usually been stabilized.
Yes, they've.
And then the back is usually a woven fabric.
Yeah, so if you have a sewing machine at home, if that's what you've got at home, you're going to need to look into what kind of interfacing you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to apply that. And then you can proceed to piece these together with much less sadness and challenge
right.
than if they were not interfaced.
And another thing I would like to bring up here is because you have a sewing machine and someone knows you sew, they will approach you to do this. Well, could you just out of my, you know, my kids' old t-shirts or my dad's old ties or my dad's old dress shirts. This is expensive to do.
It is.
This is not an inexpensive, because you're using used old t-shirts, it actually is almost more expensive than starting with some sort of yardage, because you do have to stabilize and your time will be considerable. Every piece is different. So it's not like you're, you know, whacking out a stack of, you know, shapes to go into a block. You don't get to do that.
It's
one at a time.
It's a heavy lift.
Yeah.
It is not easy.
There you go. And so, you know, and you're designing it basically, unless they have they may have designed it and you need to look at their design and decide if it's worth doing too.
Uh-huh.
Or is it practical to do what they've designed, you know? Or if they say, I want, you know, all of the band t-shirts on this row and all of this on this row, you know, they might not wind up really liking it like that.
Yeah.
So there's just considerable things to consider here. It's expensive in your time. It's expensive in product. So it may be expensive to your friendship.
It used to be like somebody's making a t-shirt quilt. And I'm like, well, I'm going to sell this person four rolls of this stabilizer. Right. And they're $26 a piece or something. And if it's something you're going to do a lot, you can figure out how to buy that stuff in bulk. But you're also then, you said expensive in time.
Right.
You better throw a sheet over your ironing board and maybe get yourself a Teflon pressing sheet because you're going to be doing a lot of pressing.
Well, that's it. The pressing is, you know.
It's its own thing.
We have a press.
A press is nice.
And that's what we would use for something
like this. Yeah, that would be perfect for a project like this. Interfacing
but,
a big chunk
of
stuff.
Are you going to buy a $400, $500 press for one project for a friend?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would probably think not.
So
unless the friend is willing to buy you that. For you to do the quilt, it might be worth it. I don't know.
This is you said you have got t-shirts from Hillary from 1999, right?
I have t-shirts.
And you love Hillary.
Hillary graduated from high school in 1998. That would be 22 years ago.
Yeah.
And I believe most of these t-shirts come from her high school era, okay? I'm trying to think, like, how many are, if there's many from Lyceum or whatever, and I don't think we got t-shirts at Lyceum. I think some made when, like, they did Joseph. They went to this, you know.
Well, this was before it was really easy to make t-shirts all the time.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, 22 years ago, they didn't spew these out over the internet, remember?
Yeah, and so they used to have just a Lyceum t-shirt, you know.
Right. We had Lyceum t-shirts, yes.
But not, like,
show-specific
ones.
But that was the Somerset Theater thing.
Yeah.
But I still have the box. That's how much I love to do these. Yeah. I have a box of t-shirts.
From 1999.
So I know what she wants in her t-shirt, in her t-shirt quilt.
So they are difficult to do. Make it easy on yourself by investing in the stabilizer.
Right.
Okay. So you said easy knit, that dream weave stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's much lighter. And it's, you know, we said it wouldn't be as durable if you just put it together with the serger. Oh, this is another place where if you are going to do this on the serger, I would go with a 4-thread.
Oh, I would too, absolutely.
So do it like a 4-thread. You could stabilize and serge.
I just imagine these t-shirts these t-shirt quilts, honestly, going away to college with someone.
Yeah.
This is what's in my head.
Uh-huh.
And that they're getting, thrown in the back of a car and they're getting thrown on a bed and then they're getting thrown out on a lawn someplace to party on and then they bring it home and you've got to wash it. And so I don't know. So you're putting...
It could work. I don't know.
Won't work. I'm just saying... I think that this is not always a quilt that just gets laid on a bed or on the end of the couch.
Right.
It needs some durability.
So, talking about expense, we talked about long arm quilting. So, we saw people in the shop buy the $100 worth of stabilizer, put all the work into
and then you have
piecing,
to buy fabric for the back of this quilt,
buying
depending
the back.
How big it is.
Yeah, and like backing fabric for a quilt can be special because it's really big.
Well,
are
you going to buy wide or are you going to piece it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
You're going to get a label made,
Yeah.
And then you send it off to a long-arm quilter and that's an expense, So think about all this stuff. You know, if you really want it for yourself and it's all worth it to you, great. You know, but if someone does just say, is this something you can do in your spare time? This is not
this
hem in a pair of pants.
No, this is not spare time. Well, rarely, honestly, is anything if you're going to do it right, I guess.
Right,
but, I've had somebody that wanted their bra strap shortened and she told me to do it in her spare time and, it took me like 2 years because I finally had like 20 minutes of spare time to do it. But
my CrossFit coach wants me to do something to an apron he has. Find out about this tomorrow night. And it's like it's got a big hammer loop, but he wants it to be made into two smaller loops. Uh-huh. So I would imagine this just means
hopefully you could just sew that
sewing
down,
one line of stitching. And I said, the cost is don't tell anyone I did this for you. Because, a CrossFit gym, it's all about community.
Right.
And I'm like, am I going to turn into the sewing, person? And it's fine, but... I don't want to be spending all my spare time.
When I first started doing aerial, I told no one I sewed.
Yeah.
And then when we started performing and I started making costumes, it was bad, wasn't it? I had people coming to Mallory and saying, talk your mother into making a costume for me. I mean, that's how bad it was. Like, But
what do I do with all this talent, everyone? Yeah,
exactly.
What do we do?
Exactly.
Yeah. So Tamara's question was how to deal with, she said she was pulling her hair out, and I'm just assuming you do want to make sure after you've interfaced that, I think you can probably just use a universal needle, but maybe a Microtex. I'm thinking.
I would probably use a Microtex just because I knew it was like super sharp.
And then give yourself seam allowance. Mm-hmm. So this goes back to the beginning of the podcast when you're cutting out those shapes. You need to make sure to include seam allowance.
So if you want a 12-inch
block,
it has to be at least 12 and a half.
Yeah. And
maybe I'd make it 13.
Right.
You know.
I think that.
With a half inch seam allowance. I don't know.
Traditionally, quilts are quarter inch seam allowance.
Right.
Even when they're interfaced, these fabrics are a little less stable than quilting cotton.
Right.
I might consider giving yourself 3/8 or half inch.
Right.
Another thing
I would really consider on this too is do not use cheap thread, please. You will be so upset when it starts falling apart.
Right, right.
And likely it would fall apart before you even finish the thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Use a high quality thread for sure.
Yep. Use some Metrazine. Even if you're, cotton fabric, cotton t-shirts and everything, get out that Metrazine polyester thread.
Absolutely.
It could be used to tack things together, too, if you
want.
Right.
You can actually quilt with that Metrazine.
Right.
We had a lot of people do
that.
Yeah.
So we saw at the shop, when we were seeing lots of people's projects, we saw the most simple t-shirt quilts, and then we saw some elaborate.
Very elaborate ones.
People were like.
With different blocks inserted.
Like double wedding ring t-shirt quilt,
and they were fantastic. Or, they would have a banner somewhere like in the middle or down towards the bottom of the quilt.
Lots of people incorporating.
That had, the name.
Embroidery,
and the name of the schools.
Yep.
And we had a lot.
Or some kind of time period
Right, and made by, Nana for your graduation from high school or whatever, whether it was on the front or the back.
Yep.
I like quilt labels because I've made very few quilts in my life. And a lot of times they were for babies or children. And I would say, this quilt made for Garrett for the advent of his birth. And I would say started in 1999 and finished in 2004.
2012.
Right.
Okay. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So that he knew. But I did understand he did take that to college with
him. Oh, did he?
But anyway,
good. All right, everybody. Well, we hope that answers some questions about t-shirt quilts. If you want to do this, dive in. If there's someone and you're like, do I really need that thing for t-shirt quilts? You might. You might need the ruler. You might need the stabilizer.
I would really, really want before I started out was that acrylic ruler.
And the stabilizer.
Just to start out, because I'd be laying that on
for sure,
of these,
Well, that is another thing that happens.
To know where it's centered and what it looks like. It becomes your frame.
You have the box of t-shirts. Some people have even a box of, they've already cut the rectangles, but they're in a box for 5 years or 10 years or 16.
Haven't cut them yet. Yeah.
So some people have that where, I've got these cut out. Now what do I do next?
We have seen very many clever ones, cute ones. I mean, really nice ones. And I'm sure they were greatly appreciated by
Absolutely.
The people who received them.
Absolutely. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for all your podcast suggestions. We're trying to get a good batch done because no one's brought COVID home yet. They just keep bringing home hand, foot, mouth disease.
Yeah, bizarre diseases.
Other things.
Just debilitating, uncomfortable.
Just
diseases.
A little, just a little I don't feel like recording a podcast while I have hand, foot, mouth disease. So thank you for all your suggestions. Go check out the Facebook group so you can drop some of those in there and we can get a batch done to prevent publishing interruptions during childhood illness season. All right. You can get a hold of us on Instagram. We're at SoHereCom. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SoHere.com.